Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 11, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Jehovah, hear my words, to my thoughts attentive be. Hear my cry, my King, my God, I will make my prayer to thee. And what follows? Psalter 11, the first three stanzas. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Isaiah 45. First, we will read the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Isaiah 45. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him. And I will loose the loins of kings, and to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gate shall not be shut. I will go before thee, and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass, and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou wast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherds strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, What makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, What begettest thou? Or to the woman, What hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, Ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. I have made the earth, and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. I have raised them up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives, not for price nor reward, as saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt and merchandise of Ethiopia and of the Sabaeans, the men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee, in chains they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, Surely God is in thee, and there is none else, there is no God. Verily thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. They shall be ashamed, and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together, that are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed, nor confounded, world without end. For thus saith the Lord, that created the heavens, a God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret, in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, Seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together. Ye that are escaped of the nations, they have no knowledge, that set up the wood of the graven image, and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell me, and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together, who hath declared this from ancient time, who hath told it from that time, have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear, surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength, even to him shall men come. And all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Eternal and Almighty God and merciful Father, the Creator and the Upholder of the heavens and of the earth, and who continues everything till this very moment, and where we have heard out of thy holy word that thou art such a great God, a mighty God, a righteous God, and that there is none beside thee, then it has pleased thee in thy great faithfulness to watch over us and our families in the night gone by, and also in the week that has quickly run its course. Then in thy patient long suffering, then thou wast not dealt according as we deserve. Because if thou had done so, then we would no longer have a place upon this earth. Then we would not have another Lord's Day. Oh, we are still in the precious day of grace. And then thou wast watched over us in the home, at work, on the way, wherever we were called to be, O Lord. May it please thee in this very hour that thou may grant by the first time and by renewal that true humility, that bowing with a confession of our sins, where they are great and manifold, the need to be pardoned, a bowing of the heart, and with a desire that thou mayest be honored and glorified. Then in this morning hour, then thou wast granted that a part of the congregation may come up to thy house. The greater part is still called upon to remain in their dwellings. We may humbly ask thee, may the time soon arrive that the whole congregation may come up to thy house. And then thou knowest in this morning how we have risen, how we have come up to thy house, how we are with our families in our dwellings. Oh, may it have been, may it be, as we have sung together with the psalmist, that in the morning hour, that he was given to cry unto thee. Oh, to cry for the needs of our bodies, for our temporal needs, and above all to be given to cry for our never dying souls. By nature we are lost and we need to be saved, but ah, Lord, then thou was also given unto the psalmist by the immediate working of thy Holy Spirit, that he was given to speak of an expectation. May there also be souls in this very morning hour, that on this Lord's Day, that they may have an expectation, and an expectation born, and as a fruit of prayers and supplications, expectations on account of instruction, which they have received out of thy holy word. Oh, then the psalmist was also given to speak of a trust, Lord, to that end. And may it please thee in this day to be mindful of us and our children, and that thy word may be blessed, the word which we have read. We have heard thy holy law by renewal. We may sing thy praises, and we hope to proclaim thy word. Oh, what all awaits for thy blessing. And we have heard out of thy holy word that it shall not return void unto thee, O Lord. And may it please thee in the latter days of the earth, the times are very solemn. Thou art speaking in so many ways. And may it please thee that we may receive ears to hear and hearts to perceive. Lord, may it then please thee in this morning hour. Oh, we have heard out of thy holy word that thou art a just God and a Savior. And by nature, then we are so blind, then we are so ignorant. But that it may please thee to bless thy holy word, that our understanding, our hearts may be opened, and that for the first time that thou may become real, that thou art a just God, and a just God that is so good and so long-suffering, that we may still have a place upon the earth. Then the prayer shall be multiplied. Then the prayer of the publican shall be learned. God, be merciful to me, a sinner, O Lord. May it then please thee to work mightily and lovingly in the hearts of young and old, that sons and daughters may be born in Zion, and where thou hast made a beginning. Oh, what people that has learned that thou art so just that thou cannot overlook one sin, oh, a people, because thou teachest thy children by thy Spirit that there needs to be a perfect righteousness. Oh, thou uncoverst them deeper that they have no righteousness of their own. Ah, may it please thee in this hour that they may be enabled by the immediate working of thy Holy Spirit to look outside of themselves, to look above the circumstances, and that that precious Savior may be revealed. Oh, that they may look by an eye of faith upon Emmanuel, God with us, Lord, and that not only for the first time, but that thy children, oh, it is so needful, and each time thou worketh that need, but that also by renewal, that they may be given to look upon him who was white and ruddy, and the chiefest among 10,000s. The Lord our righteousness, his name has been called Jesus. because he has come to save his people from their sins. O Lord, may it then please thee to work from generation to generation. We have heard out of thy holy word that thou hast said unto the children of Jacob that they shall not seek thee in vain. Wilt thou remember thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth? May the kingdom of Satan be destroyed, and may the glorious kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, and may it be expanded, and may it be established. Lord, remember the many temporal needs. They are manifold. Then we commend unto thee the mourning ones, widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought children and other dear ones to the cemetery. Continue to place underneath thy everlasting arms, and all may the callings be sanctified. Remember our elderly ones and the care home with those that care for them, those that are bound to their dwellings. The infirmities are increasing. Remember those that are weak and those that are failing. Lord, we commend unto thee all the sick and the afflicted. There are amongst us with very serious concerns. They are known unto thee. How wilt thou grant them a place at thy footstool, where they may cry unto thee for body and for soul? Oh, that their souls may be saved. Remember the crosses. Remember the burdens. Remember the scars. Remember prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. May it please thee to continue to provide for the daily bread for our family circles in the realm of nature, then thou granteth a sunshine and rain. Lord, then by renewal, then we commend unto thee the graduates who have received the diploma in this week. We humbly ask thee. They live in a world where there are so many voices and so many temptations. The devil has but a short time, and we all have an evil heart. But may it please thee to place a fiery wall round about them above all, Lord. May it please thee to convert them. Work from generation to generation. And now, Lord, in this morning hour, then we humbly beg of thee for thy gracious help. Wilt thou open thy word? Wilt thou open our mouth? Wilt thou open our hearts? May it please thee to send help from the sanctuary and strengthen out of Zion. Who was able to declare the unsearchable riches of Christ, the way that thou holdeth with thy church to empty, that thy church may be filled. May there have come up empty vessels. May the oil flow, Lord. We commend unto thee all the listeners, those that may have come up to thy sanctuary. Do go from bench to bench, and go from heart to heart, but go also from dwelling to dwelling. Wilt thou grant a holy attention? There can be so many birds that come and that pick the seed away, but may the seed of thy holy word, and may it fall upon well-prepared hearts, Lord. Then we have to confess that our sins and that our needs, that they are manifold, We are transgressors from the womb. We sin in thought and word and in deed. Our sins need to be pardoned. We have no right. Thou art so righteous to pass us by, but, Lord, may thy special presence and thy special favor, may it be realized in this very hour, and that thy honor may climb out of the dust. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 379, the stanzas 1 through 4. By Babel streams we sat and wept, for memory still to Zion clung. The winds alone our harp strings swept, that on the drooping willows hung. And what follows, Psalter 379, the first four stanzas.
Thank you.
imagination for our text words, which you can find in Isaiah 45 and there at verse 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Our text words speak of the Lord's invitation to the ends of the earth, with four thoughts in the first place. Who gives this invitation? In the second place, who are the invited? In the third place, the command to the invited. And in the fourth place, the promise for the invited. Beloved congregation, on the last Lord's Day we have heard of God and that there is none else. A just God and a Savior. And that is a knowledge that we all need, us and our children. Shall it be well for time and for eternity? In a knowledge of a just God and a Savior, therein lies the comfort for the church. And then in the beginning, then we have heard of our second point. Who are the invited? And that is a people at the ends of the earth. Then we have heard through our deep fallen Adam, that we have all come to the ends of the earth. We have turned our back to the Lord, and we are seeking it elsewhere. In the context of this chapter in the history, then it refers to a people that have been taken captives, their city and the temple has been burnt, and that they have been sent to Babylon. And alas, then it is evident from the scriptures that there were many in Babylon, and that they have found their life in Babylon. Oh, young and old, is that still our picture? That we can still find our life in the world, not to despise the Lord. He granteth many good things that we may use and that we may enjoy. But let me now ask you, can you now find the satisfaction in the things here below? A certain satisfaction. But let me then ask you, shall it be a lasting satisfaction? We are traveling to a never-ending eternity. And then shall it be well for us and our children? Then our text must be experienced. Therein lies the salvation for the church. And now the Lord, in that Babylon, there was a remnant among young and old that could not find their life in Babylon. They have experienced our text. It was, as it were, that they were at the ends of the earth. The whole earth has not been explored. They were so far from Jerusalem. Oh, when they thought of the days of old, the older ones, of that glorious temple where the sacrifices were brought, where the law was read, where the feasts were commemorated, Then they have become so sad, a way of sung together out of Psalm 137 of a people that have sat by the rivers of Babylon. And when they have thought of these things, all those mocking enemies, then they have hung their harps on the willow. But oh, now for a people, for that people in Babylon that have come to the ends of the earth. Then the prophet Isaiah, many years before the temple was destroyed, then he was already to proclaim those precious promises for a people that have come to the ends of the earth. And now the Lord has a people upon the earth by the work of the Holy Spirit that are given to experience in an experiential way that they come to the ends of the earth. Maybe a few souls that have come up to his house, that are sitting in their dwellings, that know what it is to have come to the ends of the earth in the past week. Then we have spoken of that separation, all of that distance that we have made by our sins. Ah, that people at the ends of the earth, they are given to weep tears of contrition, those tears of sorrow because of that missing. Oh, to experience that separation. And the Lord has a people upon the earth where that separation is worse than death. And then the thought, because that people, they learn that it is their own fault. Oh, it is the general way when the Lord begins to uncover us to our original sins. And when that people may be led deeper to their original sin, all their own fault, that they have come to the ends of the earth. Oh, when we read in our text, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." Ah, that speaks of a people that have come to the end of everything. Boys and girls, you can think of the example that when a person travels, and then there can be places where it says a dead-end road, maybe before us a desert, maybe before us the mountains which we cannot pass, then it seems that we have come to the end of the world, that we cannot go no further. Oh, and now it is the work of the Holy Spirit each time, because the Spirit, that is the precious work of the Spirit, to make room for Emmanuel, for that Savior, which is declared in this chapter. Ah, the Lord makes room for his own work. And now to come to the ends of the earth, that can imply many things. It can imply darkness. It can imply ignorance. When we think, because this chapter, that also is a precious promise for the Gentiles, those that are aliens of the commonwealth of Israel and strangers of the covenant of promise, without hope, without Christ, and without God. Ah, those Gentiles, they dwell in darkness, and now the Lord has a people upon the earth that learn more and more how ignorant they are. Oh, the cry is born, Lord, is there yet a way whereby I can be saved? When we read in our text words of the ends of the earth, oh, that speaks of discouragement, can be even nearly despair, when there is a people that know it no more. Ah, think of Elijah. Then he has also traveled a day's journey, and then he has come under the juniper tree. Oh, at the ends of the earth, an end to our wisdom. The Lord leads His people, because in that way, then that Savior becomes so necessary, whose name is Counselor, Wonderful, Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. The Lord holds ways with His people, that they do not know it anymore, and that can be, that is in a spiritual way, but also in a temporal way, in business life, in family life, prodigal sons and daughters, that we become so overwhelmed that we are at the end of the earth, can be in the way that we have no strength, that we have no courage, then how necessary He becomes, whose name has been called Mighty God. Look unto Me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. When the children of Israel, when they were brought to the ends of the earth, when they were in captivity, they were given to remember the days of old. For the church, how profitable, how necessary, when they may be given to think of the days of old, that the Lord has been so faithful, that the Lord has upheld and that the Lord has kept. But when they think of the days of old, for the children of Israel to consider the blessings they have received in former times, and that they have not appreciated them as they ought, when they think of former times, the prophets whom the Lord has sent, rising up early till late in the evening, and that they have not hearkened as they have thought, when they thought of former days, when they went up to the feast, when they were given to see the animal slain. But now at the ends of the earth, young and old, are there people? And then we must make a distinction, because in temporal life, I read in Job 14, verse 1, that man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Thus only providentially is a blessing, when we may be brought on our knees, when we may be given to realize how dependent we are upon the Lord for everything, and that we are brought more on our knees and closer to the Word of God. That is a great privilege and a great blessing, but in itself, young and old, it is not enough to appear before our Maker, because the Holy Spirit, with that people that is brought at the ends of the earth, they have not only to do with providential dispensations. They learn that the Lord is the God of providence, that He is a mighty God, and that at the ends of the earth, that He is able to help and to deliver. But now for that true people, we have mentioned it, they learn a just God and a Savior. A people that is burdened with their sins, and that at the ends of the earth, they are given to confess each time by renewal, that it is their own fault, their own guilt. When we read that expression, at the ends of the earth, is it not a picture of a backslidden church that is departed so far from the Lord, or that has fallen into temptation? Think of a Peter when he has denied his Master, who he has loved with his whole heart. Has he not come at the ends of the earth? But now for that people in our text, even in Babylon, so far, a desert in between the high walls of the city, a mighty army, impossible from the Lord's side. Then the Lord had a special message to that people. That is our third thought. the command to the invited, because we read, "Look unto me." What a precious word for a people that has come to the ends of the earth. Who does that duty and command come to? Come to a people that are at the end of the earth. And we have mentioned by nature we are all at the end of the earth. Thus in our text, we are all exhorted, look unto me. And what do we then need, boys and girls, to look? Then we need eyes. When we read our text, look unto me, then we have mentioned last week that all are commanded and may look. There's not one in this morning that is excluded. But by nature, none will look, and none can look. But now by the grace of God, virtue, that covenant of grace, because in the covenant of grace, then Christ has merited for his people what he exhorts them to. And then he does not only command, but then he also gives. And now for a people at the end of the earth, look unto me. What an objections there can be in the life of that people. Is there also a soul in my midst? Where is that question? Is that invitation now also for me? A soul that knows what it is to be brought to the ends of the earth, come to the end of everything. That is not strange to them. But all that people with these invitations, then they can have so many objections and so many questions. And then the question is such an exhortation now really for me? Are there a few souls that are struggling with these matters? And what a struggles there that can be. Oh, then for the one, when we read in this chapter, Jacob, Israel, whom the Lord has chosen, then how that people sometimes can be struggling with a doctrine of election. But if I am not elected, what does it say in our text? Does it say, look unto me ye that are elected? No, it says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Because we read in Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, the secret things belong to the Lord, and the revealed things for us and our children, that we may know his commandments and that we may do them. Then I hear another soul say, but concerning that expression, the ends of the earth, then it can be my question so often, have I now been uncovered deep enough? Learned my misery deep enough? Have I become humble enough? Have I become unworthy enough? Thus are you still seeking it in self? Even though it is not strange to be at the ends of the earth, still trying to bring something along to satisfy the justice of God, that he may be pleased with you. The Lord is free, can even be the life of a child of God, that they try to tell the Lord exactly how it must go. Or maybe they compare their life with other autobiographies, also a danger, can be for encouragement. Good for our boys and girls to read it, how the Lord converts his people. And also concerning the further leadings, when we read many of those autobiographies, how in such a clear way they have been led from step to step. But there can also be the danger that a child of God compares himself or herself to another one, and that they tell the Lord it must go so or it cannot be true. Says simply in our text, and then it is necessary for that deeper uncovering that we are truly brought to the ends of the earth. Oh, that a poor sinner learns that at the end of the earth he must, and that he shall perish. No hope and no expectation from his or her sight, and that in their desperate condition, they are given to beg, they are given to ask. Oh, they have learned that there is a just God who is so righteous, so holy, that he cannot overlook one sin. They learn that their rightful place is in the bottom of hell. But oh, that thought, because then, oh, here young and old, we can be at the ends of the earth, but we are still upon praying ground. We are still in the precious day of grace, where Christ is gathering his church. Oh, we have heard it, that the Lord has said unto the children of Jacob that they shall not seek him in vain. Oh, is that not a precious word for us and our families? But what an encouragement for that people that have come to the ends of the earth, and not only by the first time, because the Lord, he holds special ways with his people, not only once to look, but also each time by renewal, look unto me and be ye saved. Then maybe another soul, but if I now look, if I come, shall I not be cast away? Shall the Lord then really receive and accept me? Such a black sinner, what does it say in God's word? John 6, verse 37. All that the Father has given unto me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Thus, what a precious text. What a precious invitation for a people that have come to the ends of the earth, that have come to their wits' end, that have learned of a holy necessity. Think of an Esther. What has she done, congregation? Was it for her that she was not at the ends of the earth and her people? But then she says, so will I go unto the king, and if I perish, I perish. The Lord has a people that is given, all they are exhorted, but by the Holy Spirit, that they may be given, oh, it is true, times the ends of the earth. So bow down. We read of a woman in Luke 13 for 18 years that she was bowed down and she was tied with such a knot by the devil that she and no one could untie. Oh, then undoubtedly there were those that says, but woman, you must straighten yourself up. But we read that in no wise could she straighten herself. But when Jesus, when he has come in the synagogue, and then he has spoken to that woman, then she was raised up, and then she was given to behold Jesus. Look unto me. The word look in the Hebrew language, that has a much broader meaning than in the English language, our boys and girls know what it means to look, that we focus on something, we look at it, with something nice, with delight and joy. But in the Hebrew language, then that word has a double meaning, means to look, but it also means to turn. In our Dutch Staten Bible, they have translated it as "Wend u naar mij." They have translated it, "Turn unto me." Thus then our text, that has a broader and deeper meaning than just to look, but it also means to turn. And that separates the precious from the vile. There can be a contemplation of the truth, can even be joy in hearing the truth, in studying the truth, that we are given to be wonder, the wonderful works of the Lord, and also how the Lord saves His church. But now when that true looking, then there is also a turning. And now with that examination for God's people, when they are given to examine themselves, then many a times it can be for a comfort when they are given to study God's word. Oh, it is true that people at the ends of the earth, they write many bitter things against themselves. But there are times, that they may find their life. And then when they read, look unto me, then they have to confess, examine their faith. They have received faith to believe in God. Christ has said in John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. But now that people look unto me, then they have also been given to turn. And what have they been given to turn from? Oh, in the first place, they have been given to turn from the world. Does not mean we must live in the world. We must be a separate people. We have a baptized forehead, but the natural heart that is so carnal, that is so earthly. And now the Lord has a people that learned that it is so, and they are given to lament about that earthly and carnal heart. But by the grace of God, then they haven't been given to turn around. Then they can no longer find, even in when we are religious, then we are looking so much to the world to find our happiness, satisfaction. And we have stated many good things of Ezekiel, when it speaks of his wife, the desire of his eyes, family circles, when the Lord grants us our daily bread, thus many good things. But now by the work of the Spirit, then even those outward things, they shall not make us happy. God's people, when they are in their rightful place, then they shall be in their element. When all the outward things do not draw them away from the Lord, lest that happen so often. They have their idols, but God's people, they may be in their element when their temporal blessings, when it may bring them closer to the Lord, thus look, turn to me. That means for a people that is given to turn from the world, and from what else? From the law, from Moses, from their self-righteousness, from their repentance, from their experience. People that learns at the end of the earth with everything that they have experienced, not to despise it. Despise not the day of small things, it says in Zechariah 4, verse 10, people of God, when we despise the day of small things many times, there comes great darkness. Thus not to despise them, but those things are not the foundation. Thus look unto me, turn unto me, and then is the Lord speaking, a just God and a Savior. Thus then the church is exhorted, those at the ends of the earth, look unto me. Give the example, beautiful typified, in Numbers 20:21. And we read thereof in John 3, the verses 14 and 15. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that everyone that believeth, that is that look, shall not perish, but of everlasting life. And in Numbers 21, there's written of the plague of the serpents, and that many, young and old, they were bitten by that serpent, and they were ready to die. And then the Lord has commanded Moses to make a brazen serpent and put it on a pole, that everyone may look, and then that bitten people, they had to simply look, and they were immediately healed. Oh, undoubtedly, it cannot be different, because there were young and old. Just think of it. When there was a mother with a little baby, and they were both bitten, and that mother has looked, and she has felt that vigor that has entered her body, that she was totally healed. What do you think, boys and girls, that mother would have done with her baby? That she would have held that baby with the eyes of that baby toward that serpent. Do you do the same, father and mother? Does that look? It is such a precious look. It is such a saving look. Look unto me. And then we must say a few words about that me. But let us first sing. Psalter 92, the stanzas 3 and 7. My soul is joyful in the Lord. In his salvation I rejoice. To him my heart will praise accord and bless his name with thankful voice. And what follows? Psalter 92, the stanzas 3. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Then perhaps there is a soul that is thinking to themselves, is it now so simple, if we may say it that way, to be saved? Simply to look. And what about the price? Oh, it is written in God's word, without money and without price, look unto me. Is there an enamen amongst us that thinks the same as he, and that his servants is his master? If the Lord has now commanded you to do some great thing, then thou wouldst done it. And now the prophet says simply, go to the river Jordan and dip thyself 7 times. Look unto me and be ye saved. On the other hand, from man's side, unholy impossibility, but now, as we have said, what the Lord commands to his true church at the ends of the earth, that shall be given by the Holy Spirit. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, all troubled and burdened souls, with your sins, if ye do not look, then ye must forever perish. For those that were bitten with that serpent was their only hope. If they would cast a glance, it is true, the one was closer than the other, but all those that have looked, but now, look unto me. Who is that? That is Emmanuel. That is God with us. That is he whose name has been called Jesus, because he has come to save his people from their sins. Oh, look unto me. Then what a broad field we have to speak of. Look unto me. Then we could speak of his many names. We have quoted Isaiah 9 verse 6. Oh, look unto me, his natures, that he is divine, that he has assumed our human nature. Oh, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth. Then look unto me, when I have assumed the human flesh, when I have been born of the Virgin Mary, when I was born in a stable, in that dark stable, when I was laid in the manger, oh, look unto me, the bread of life that has come down from heaven. Oh, look unto me, that was willing to humble so low that the chiefest of sinners are those that have sinned everything away, those that have ruined everything. Oh, then look unto me. Oh, of Christ it could truly be said that he was willing to come to the ends of the earth in the way of suffering and death. Oh, look unto me. Look unto my love. Look unto my willingness. Oh, I have become the servant of the Father. That a people that have come to the ends of the earth, that he may be saved. Oh, then our text says, oh, look unto me. In the garden of Gethsemane, when Judas and the band, oh, in the garden of Gethsemane first, when I have crawled as a worm and no man, oh, look unto me, that I was willing to take the cup of the wrath that has been filled with the sins of his people, that I was willing to take that cup and drink it to the end. Therefore look unto me and be saved. Oh, look unto me. That threefold prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, what I have merited for my church. Oh, look unto me, when I have given myself so freely. If ye seek me, let these go their way, where I was willing to take the place of the church. Oh, look unto me, in the hall of Gabbatha. Oh, look unto me, in the hall of Caiaphas, where I was mocked, where I was ridiculed. Oh, child of God, look unto me, that unfathomable love, that I was willing to come upon the earth, that I was willing to suffer and die. Oh, look unto me in the hall of Gabbatha, where I was bruised, where I was smitten, where the plowers have plowed upon my back. Oh, look unto me. Oh, ye at the ends of the earth, on Calvary's hill, where I was willing to be crucified, where the nails were driven through my hand and through my feet, where I was willing to hang. Oh, for Christ it has truly become true that he was at the ends of the earth. Oh, for Christ, and no room upon the earth and no room in heaven, because the Father has dealt judicially with them. Oh, look unto me, people of God, that I was willing to take all your sins, original and actual, before the Lord has begun that good work, and also all those sins committed after. Oh, look unto me with my outstretched arms. Oh, do we not read that precious invitation in Matthew 11, verse 28? Look unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. Oh, look unto me. Those precious crosswords, of what a rich meaning they have for the child of God. Oh, look unto me, that I have cried out, it is finished. I have finished the work which the Father has given his servant to do. Oh, look unto me. Oh, look unto that empty tomb, that the stone has been rolled away. Oh, look unto me, how I have dealt so tenderly with my children after their resurrection in those 40 days. Oh, look unto me, oh, Thomas. He was brought to the ends of the earth. Oh, those men of Emmaus. But then with the breaking of bread, with his pierced hands, he was made known unto them. Oh, for a Thomas, look unto me. And then he was given to confess, my Lord and my God. Oh, look unto me. Look unto my precious word. Look unto those precious promises which I have given to my children. Oh, look in our text words. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. Oh, that is such a precious look. And in that look, there is the saving of the soul. There is the rejoicing unspeakable. And now concerning that look, not only once, oh, what a wonder for the child of God, when at the ends of the earth, with her heavenly high guilt so condemnable, have sinned everything away, they have to agree that the Lord is just, that he would cast them away forever. But when it pleases the Spirit to open his word, and they may be given to cast a glimpse, they may be given to look upon that precious Savior with those outstretched arms. Oh, what a look that is. But now it is so necessary, so profitable for the child of God, that each time that they may be given to look, and that new light may fall upon the mysteries of salvation. For that people to look many times can be so much missed. and there can be so much that stands in the way. Nevertheless, look unto me. Oh, are there souls? Is there literally a soul that has been brought to the ends of the earth, exercised therewith in the past week, afraid that you must forever perish, and yet you cannot miss the Lord, O souls that are burdened with that heavy burden? Then in our text in this morning it says, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. A few thoughts concerning our forethought. The promise for the invited, when it says in our text, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, then it does not only speak of a possibility, but it speaks of a shell. Oh, those shells of that covenant, when the child of God, when they may be given to look above the circumstances, when they may be given to look outside of themselves, when they may be given to look by true saving faith, and the child learns that without him they can do nothing. But oh, what a precious look there is. And the more, the clearer and the longer they may look, the more beauty they may see in that me. Because the bride has said in the Song of Solomon, verse 10, that he is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000s. Oh, look unto me, that I am so white. No actual, no original sin. Oh, it is true. I have become so black because of the sins of my people. But look unto me, oh, our text. It declares what John the Baptist has declared in John 1, verse 29. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. That Lamb that was white, but that has also become ruddy, because it has cost him his blood. He has given his life that his people may be redeemed. And then it is written in our text, oh, it is true, in the context, in the first place, for that people in Babylon, oh, remnant in Babylon, look not at the army of Babylon, look not at those towering walls, look not at the distance, but look at me, worry, because there is none else. I am the creator and the upholder of the heavens and of the earth. And is there anything too hard for the Lord? Oh, when the Lord speaks, then it shall come to pass. And now look unto me, look unto that promise which the prophets have declared, that in due time that the captives may return. But it is so impossible. Oh, with the Lord there is nothing. Oh, it is true that people in Babylon, how they must have reasoned, how they must have spoken, how it is now possible. And now the Lord has worked it out in a way that they have never thought of. In Ezra 1, verse 1, in this chapter 44 and 45, there is spoken of Cyrus. And then it is so simply written that the Lord has stirred up the spirit of Cyrus as a servant, that he has given command, that he has given permission, that they have even received much provision for the sacrifices, for the service of the Lord. Look unto me and be ye saved. Oh, then the child of God, through that precious Savior, by that true saving faith, when they may be given to look, when they may be given to believe, when they may be given to receive, ah, then they are saved from their sins. Then they are saved from their guilt. Then they are saved from the punishment. Then they are saved from the power of sin. Then they are saved from the dominion of sin. Oh, it is true, Thomas Watson has said, that sin may rage, but it no longer reigns. They are saved from the love to sin. They are saved with an everlasting salvation, and that possible because our text has said, for I am God and there is none else. There lies declared the mystery of salvation, a just God and Savior. In our text, oh, the Trinity, necessary to be saved, that the Father had a Son who was willing, that has come upon this earth, that has left his Father's house, that as it was, he has come to the ends of the earth. Oh, see him then hanging on the cross, where he has cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And that for a people that has come to the ends of the earth. Oh, that have learned that they can never save themselves, but that they may never be forsaken, for they are saved with an everlasting salvation. Oh, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. What a precious invitation, young and old. And now may we close with a question. What are we now busy looking at? What gives us the most joy and the most satisfaction? We say it by renewal. The Lord grants many good things, Solomon has said in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 13, and that we may eat and drink and enjoy the good of our labor. It is the gift of God. But does that give us the most joy and the most satisfaction, or has it now become in our life that we have learned that here below, in the things of time and sense, that the true satisfaction is not to be found? Have we learned by the uncovering work of the Holy Spirit our sinnership, that we have sinned against such a good doing and against such a just God, and that our sins, that the justice of God, temporal and eternal punishment, have we learned? Because when the Lord works, congregation, that is learned. Oh, that separation. That separation. And that bite of the serpent in paradise, it permeates our whole body, all our members, that we learn we do not only do sin, but that we are nothing but sin. Oh, to be brought at the ends of the earth, a just God. But now the precious invitation, young and old. That invitation shall not come to us forever, shall come to an end at our death, when we are unconverted. Then that invitation shall no longer come. Look unto me. Read in the last verses of this chapter that his word shall not return void unto him. Every knee shall bow, and there shall come a day that we shall all look, young and old. Oh, for God's people, that day of judgment, then they shall see him look upon him, upon that Savior whom they have looked upon here in the time. Let us remember, congregation, we need a Savior for our guilt. We need a surety. No salvation outside of Jesus Christ. We need to experience that looking. We have mentioned it the one time clearer than the other. But now on that great day of judgment, then there shall be so many that shall be forced to look, because they shall be brought before the judge, whom they have refused to acknowledge, to look at, pretend many times in our life that there was no God. And then we shall look, and we shall see an angry judge, and then to hear those words, "Depart from me, oh young and old." What a precious invitation. May we be given to ask that many may receive eyes for the first time, for a people that is exercised with those ends of the earth, but also for God's people to receive more light, to be given to behold the riches of the work of a triune God. May our prayer be with Elisha on Mount Dothan. In 2 Kings 6, verse 17, that servant has said to Elijah when he has seen that army, "Alas, master, what shall we do?" But then the prophet has prayed, "Lord, open his eyes that he may see." Amen. Let us close. A Lord who was able to unravel and to declare the riches of that rich invitation to a people to the ends of the earth, Lord, may it please Thee to grant by Thy Spirit what Thou exhorteth and what Thou commandeth. May there have been a soul was unable to look outside of themselves upon that precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was willing to come to the ends of the earth for a people that is given to experience the same by the first time and by renewal, Lord, perhaps a soul that by renewal, after they have looked, that they are at the ends of the earth and that they know it no more, may they be given to look upon that just God and upon that Savior, Lord. Wilt thou work lovingly and irresistibly amongst us and our dear children? Do yet a great work, in that looking. Then thou art glorified, then thou art honored. Watch over us in this Sabbath day. Wilt thou remember the brother elder who may read? May it truly be a may and not a must. May it be with joy. May he be given to look unto thee and experience that thou knowest of him. Wilt thou grant traveling mercies, forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 151, let us only sing 5 and 6. In God the Lord I rest, His word of grace I praise, His promise stands secure, nor fear nor foes dismays, and what follows. 151, only 5 and 6. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.